shut up. The footage on Triple M. For the new Holden Colorado, with up to 500 newton meters of torque, it won't look new for long. Welcome to the Saturday Rub. Triple M rocks football.
Welcome to the MCG. It is Collingwood and Melbourne here at this mighty Coliseum, and we can't wait. A terrific game between two big Melbourne clubs, inner city jobs. As I look around this room, we're ready to go. Gary Lyon, former superstar in Melbourne, of course, six-time All-Australian, right. Captain of that club forever, and captain of Victoria as well, and his vice-captain for a bit of that was Spud Regis, yeah. Who, of course, was also the captain of the Saints for years, and coached Richmond to their last prelim. Yep. They might be on their way to another one, Spud. Hello to you.
Oh, fantastic. The season's open up a little bit now. Great for the nice. Tiger Army after last week. We saw the game, Gaz, and they were terrific. We'll talk it in depth later on, but terrific.
Purple, we might have just got a little insight into the spat between Alistair Clarkson and Wayne Carey. And just how all of that unfolded.
We might have, Jim. We've just gone back to the tape. And we've done a little bit of investigation behind the scenes. And there's a little twist to it.
There is.
There's a little twist.
Which we love.
Our man Steve-O involved. Yeah.
Might be right in the middle of it.
Little pop gut.
This is going to be great to talk about. Because about 7:40 last night, we thought Richmond were real. But we still had a suspicion that Hawthorn were going to deal with the Tigers last night and continue on their merry way. And 2.5 hours later, we got a competition with six rounds to go. And it's wide open again, Jim. And don't for one second. Only fools would say that the Hawks have made a meal of it. They just had an off night. But the debating point today, or the talking point today, is the off night was brought about by Richmond. Yep. And the way they went about it, it was bloody superb, to be honest.
Can you now, you two men, now say categorically they are in the premiership race?
Well, they are, because they've beaten Fremantle, they've beaten Sydney, they've now beaten Hawthorn, and West Coast got them here after the bye. So the bye, you can have a little bit of a lull. So they're in it up to their ears on that form alone. So, and they've got a really good forward. They've got the best defender in the competition in Rance, and their midfield kicking goals and getting the ball inside their forward 50.
Guys?
They're a chance, Damo, but they need to finish in the top four. Because if you're going to win a flag from outside the top four, you've got to be way, way out of the box. And these players are great, but I'm not sure they're out of the box just yet. But you just look at Richmond, and I said last night I was slow to embrace them this year. Yep. And, you know, 2-4 and all those sorts of things. But even more than that, I kept looking at them thinking, where? Well, their pressure and attention to detail and willingness to do it from start of a quarter to end of the quarter, that's the thing that's holding them in great stead. And all the other bits have fallen into play nicely because they're really good players, are playing well, and their middle tier have stepped up. But it's just their willingness to put, you know, intense pressure on the opposition that is, and make it a one-on-one battle. That's the thing I loved last night.
Well, the pressure is the thing that we always say about the Hawks, isn't it? If you can put enough on them, they will react to pressure the same as everyone else because they're human. But it's just, we never see it, Gaz. No one ever seems to be able to put that amount of pressure or sustain it anyway. You can have little 10-minute bursts where they look vulnerable and you think, hello, you know, like a boxer that's staggering a bit. But then they gather and end up winning by 50 points and you say, well, they responded and it was great. But you don't see too many teams put that sort of pressure on them and sustain it.
There have been moments this year when Hawthorn have been made to look very, very vulnerable and very ordinary. And that's been Port Adelaide in an opening blitz over there. It was St Kilda, I reckon, that took it up to them really early. It was Essendon that served them up as well. It was all on the back of quick, fast ball movement and winning the ball back. But you're right, they weren't, in Port Adelaide's case, they hung on, but they gave, it was a 9-goal lead that they almost lost. The others weren't good enough. This side's good enough.
All right, so the statistical question I guess you'd ask from a Hawthorn point of view, Clarko maybe last night, is firstly, they got beaten in contested footy by 21, which is a smashing, given that that's how they operate.
They'd be
they're
filthy on that.
Very much a contested
footy
side.
So would Hodgie, and so would Lewis, and
absolutely.
So would Mitchell.
And secondly, we talk about the Richmond pressure, which was extraordinary, and yet I think Hawthorn had 19 more tackles. So that can be a lying statistic, can't it? Yeah, you can look at the tackle count, and you think, well, Hawthorn had 20 more tackles, and yet was still out-pressured in the game.
Yeah, well, the tackle count's not the be-all and end-all, is it?
No, it's not. It's corralling, it's finding a loose man.
It's getting in the face as they're about to dispose.
Yeah, the pressure they put on, and I heard your call last night, Gaz, you were spot on, that they're overlapped from the back half. The Richmond forwards made sure that the defenders defended. And I think there's no doubt there's a blueprint there, as you talked about, the contested marks. That's where Hawthorn control the game, because they average 94 uncontested marks. So they get the game on their terms. It was flipped on its head last night. What was it, 56 they got last night, uncontested marks. And that is just an outstanding effort. And not only the pressure, Hawthorn went at 57%. Their average is 69% by foot. So they, you can talk tackling, but it's the corralling and teasing them into an area where they're
so
vulnerable.
The percentage of kicking, it all dovetails together. So they're 56% last night because they didn't get overlap and they weren't allowed a free in the back half. When you got a free in the back half, you pick the eyes out of it because you're kicking the blokes on their own. And therefore, your kicking percentage and effectiveness goes through the roof. Last night, they didn't get the outlet. Yep. They didn't get the easy kick. They were under pressure. Their kicking efficiency drops down to a human level.
Yeah.
So what we saw last night, is that the blueprint to bring Hawthorn down?
Yeah, well, I think it is. Yeah, it's no coincidence. But the Richmond have worked it out. Three of the last four. And it's about, I mean, we can talk about this forever. Gibson, Frawley, Lake in the back half. Right, really, really good one-on-one defenders, but they're not creative. Well, Gibbo possibly when he's on his own and can get the footy on his own. But he had a shocking night last night. He didn't defend well. He hacked the footy. Chip Frawley was rusty. Hadn't played footy for a long time. But we know that he's not a great kick and a great decision maker. And Brian's Brian. So then you're going to rely on Birchall and Duray and Stratton and these boys to be your creative forces in the back half. Well, they couldn't. Because they are one-on-one, bang. Mm. So you must make them accountable. You've got to make them accountable. You've got to get in their face so they can't kick the eyes out of the ball. I mean, their handball, they had more handballs than kicks last night. So all of a sudden, 177 kicks to 188 handballs. I mean, that is a great result because the kicking is their force. And the most significant thing I saw last night was how they spread this great zone defence that Hawthorn have employed over the journey. So Richmond in their back half, or in Hawthorn, the ball goes into Hawthorn's forward half, they keep it there. That's their MO. I mean, that's the way they play, time in forward half. And they zone up and press up all 18 players. Well, the Tigers were patient, chipped around, picked the eyes out of it, and took it to the absolute width of the MCG. So eventually the zone got spread and got brought up, and if they didn't bring it up, then they would keep kicking it. So that uncontested marking in the first quarter was off the charts. 43 possessions to 10 at the six-minute mark of the game. So they only had it 10 times in 6 minutes. And then eventually Hawthorn had to come up and had to go wide, and then they were able to work their way through. And I loved it.
Well, and none of the gut running from Smith and Hill and Birchall, we saw none of that linking up through the middle of the ground. They were largely ineffective, those three, for the whole night.
Well, we had the stat at one stage. Hill averages 455 metres gained per game. Mm. Now, that's a new stat, so people, that's either kicking or carrying or whatever. Well into the third quarter, he'd had 50.
Right.
So finished with 146.
You end up with 146. Yeah. Well, that's a damn big time. And he and Hill, they're the two, and Hartung, who came on at once, or came on a couple of times, they just couldn't run. And that was all due to this great pressure. And the other thing I loved, Jim, was at the start of the game, I know this can sometimes be bravado and bullshising, but the Hawks are intimidators. Yep. They are the intimidators. Yep. And all of a sudden, Cochin went bang into Hodgie.
Yep.
And I had the Nikon, although I didn't have the Nikons because Duke
had stolen them.
Duke gave me a 1930 pair of his poxy binoculars. But Hodgie is sort of laughing at Cochin, going, what do you think you're doing? But it was a pretty, I thought it was a bold thing. And then Cochin went to work on Hodgie. And all of a sudden, Hodgie had to go to halfback. And then little Miles, who's an absolute jet, he was smashing into Mitchell. So
did you give him the votes?
I didn't give the goods, but he or Deledio. Deledio was outstanding.
Deledio, is that one of the better games we've seen him play? Not in possession wise.
Going to join us shortly, by the way, yep.
He's had the 18 disposals. Like, he's had 35 disposal games, but he hasn't played the impact that he had last night.
And three just goals in the first quarter, set it up, and then one when they needed to put a stamp on it.
It's no coincidence that since his return, Spud, this has turned around for Richmond.
Yeah, this year. Yeah, and there's no doubt, even last year they were out without him, Rance and Big Ivan for a while. So those three guys, and Big Ivan, Gaz, he pushed forward and he's starting to pluck some grabs forward, and he plays like a big man. He throws his weight around and he puts intimidation into the opposition.
That's the other thing it's opposition sides will be looking at, that one stage, well into the third quarter, Hale, McAvoy, Showmakers and Ruffhead had taken a single mark each. Well into the third quarter. Hale was horrible. McAvoy didn't get busy. Ruff just had an off night, and you know, Schoenmakers is still finding his way. So the big fellas took it to him. And the thing I love about the lead, and we're going to talk to him, and credit to Damien Hardwick, and message for all coaches, when you've got a player of extreme talent, then it is incumbent upon you to work out how best to deploy it. And there's no good leaving them somewhere when they're not working. And Damien Hardwick throws him around. You know, he kicked three in the first quarter and he looked like he was set, and then didn't touch it for, I don't know, 15 minutes in the second quarter because the Hawks got control. So he threw him back behind the ball. At one stage, he was in the defensive goal square. Deploy your assets where they're needed most. And I hate it when coaches just let the game go and they've got these star players that aren't getting footy because of the way the game's being played. Not with the leader. And he's now being used to absolute maximum. Maximum effect.
Yeah, I loved it. I reckon Damien Hardwick would have walked into the room, the coach's room afterwards, Gaz, with all the players in there and just pointed to the whiteboard from before the game and said, there's your evidence. You do all of that and we beat the best team in the comp. And the players would have got great belief out of that, I'm sure.
Well, what Spud and I are big enough to realise as special comments men is we know most stuff about footy, but you've come up with a fair comment, Jim, on the game that we're prepared to give you a little bit of airtime on.
Yeah, I think you should call it.
I like it.
I don't even know what you're talking about.
The left footers.
Oh, sorry.
Left footers.
just hit him on the left leg.
No, we're not.
Oh, I sort of am, but...
No, we'll give you a lot of left footers, JB.
Normally we'd pinch it for ourselves.
Well, no, what I said to you, Gaz, is because when you call in the game, you're only looking where the footy is, so you're not. You haven't got the ability to do what you blokes do, so brilliantly, and they see the whole ground.
That's true.
But I said, if you maybe I need the backup of vision, but it looked to me like the Richmond players weren't allowing Hawthorn's left footers to get access to free ground to kick the footy. So in other words, they were corralling them and crabbing them to go sideways. And they've got so many of them, you know, Lewis and Birchall, and you know, Gibson's another one off the back half, you know, these blokes who kick, you know, so beautifully from the back half of the ground. And yet every time a Richmond player came at them to corral them, they also were aware that they were left footers and didn't do what always staggers me, Gaz, and that is how dumb footballers are when they look at a bloke who's a left footer and then just allow him to walk around on their left side. I'm going back to Carl Langdon. Remember, he used to just run these great big wheels and everyone would just let him do it. And I always thought, mate, he's a left footer, don't let him go that way. I thought Richmond did it brilliantly last night.
No, they did. And it's a good point you make. And Damien Hardwick being a Hawthorn man at one stage, would be aware of that. It was also an extension of the fact that because there was this one-on-one mentality, that there was no... Normally, you can see Birchall running into space off the half-back line because there's been an overlap and he can swing onto his left, right, do a handstand if he wants. But there was just pressure everywhere. And it was great to see. And the other thing that comes out of this, and that's all game-related sense, they go to Hawthorn go to West Coast next... Perth next week to play the Eagles. And their chances of getting a spot in the top two and playing home final, home prelim, grand final, which is what we all suspected coming into last night.
Hinge on this.
Now it looks like maybe going West Coast final, depending on... It lose that game, back, win, back to Perth, most likely.
For you.
So the ramifications were enormous last night.
All right. Do we want to do Steve and Duck here, or do we want to get to the end of lids and then unload on what we've forensically found?
Who said what?
Well,
when? It's a big investigation
going on.
When Clarko eyeballs you, you got one or two choices.
That's it.
You can either say
man up.
I brought it up. Or you can go, someone brought it up.
All right. Well, I think we need to get to a break and we'll get to lids. And at the end of that, we'll have a close look at what happened last night. We saw the Tigers absolutely magnificent last night, defeating the Hawks, who'd won eight in a row. And this man was sensational. Have a listen before we get the introduction done.
This man, Brett Nolito, running 23% of his possessions inside forward 50 this year. And that's why you like it there, Chief, because he can finish like that.
Nolito takes responsibility and from 55 slams it home. Nolito with open space and called to play on.
Number three,
can run in and kick his third. He's going to do it. Nolito!
Oh,
gave it back to the champ, Nolito. Straightens up. Bang! Nolito is a star of our competition.
No doubt about that. When the game needed to be set up, he kicked the three opening goals, the only three goals of the first quarter. And then when an exclamation point needed to be put onto it, he kicked the first of the last quarter and got the Tigers home. And he's been good enough to join us, Lids. Well done, mate. Saturday morning after a Friday night like that, no better feeling.
Yeah, oh, you're not wrong, Gaz. It's always enjoyable waking up after a Friday night win. Greeted by Little Miller, ready to get up and start crying on me. So it all just gets back to normality straight away.
Well done. And congratulations to you and Katie on the birth of little Miller. So we might talk about fatherhood duties a little later on. But it was validation, I think. You get levels of respect in this competition. And Richmond have earned, you know, four or five really high levels in the past month or so, and understandably so, but it's sort of gone through the roof last night because you took down, you know, the big dog, and you took him down in a really emphatic style.
Yeah, look, I think we certainly took a lot of confidence out of the way we played last week against Fremantle, and obviously beating Sydney and Freo over there as well. So we always knew, you know, we've got a game plan that can stand up against good sides, but I think mostly after last week, we just wanted to turn that anger of that loss into a victory this week. And to the boys' credit, they stuck at it and defended extremely well. Didn't allow Hawthorn to get their game up and going at all. And you know, instead of hitting the post this week, we kicked our goal. Yeah. Yep.
No, well done, Lids. A part of that game plan, as you just talked about, then is it the pressure you bring to the table on the opposition? As I said, the tackles used to be a great stat, but Hawthorn had 20 more nearly tackles than you guys. So is it the harassment and not giving their back half any room to move when they so easily run the ball out at times?
Yeah, I think one of the key things Hawthorn like to do is to switch in their back line to get it, you know, to their runners in Isaac Smith and Brad Hill out in the wings. But we tried to deny that as best we could, but also you know, force them back off the mark is probably a key thing that a lot of sides try and do. You know, just buys you that extra couple of seconds up the field. And to a man, I thought the boys did that pretty well.
And I noticed your forwards, to a man, were very keen on making sure Hawthorn defended, and you didn't give them an extra. So, you know, the ability to reset and get back on those guys when you had the ball was terrific and made them defend.
Yeah, I think that's something we've been working on for most of the year. You know, I thought Jack and Ty's ability, and also Benny Lennon playing only his third or fourth game for the year, I thought his ability to compete and you know, when he's 2v1, to make a contest and get the ball to ground, just not give him that easy rebound. So it is something that we've been working on and something that we've prided ourselves on as a forward line.
Brett, the manner in which the loss to Fremantle came about, it, you mentioned before there was anger attached to how it happened. And look, it was obviously shattering. To the outside world, it was a little bit of, oh, look, this is what Richmond does. It was so Richmond in some people's eyes. But did you actually feel that as the week progressed and you got up towards last night, that there was a galvanising component to what happened in that game?
Yeah, I think you're right, Dame. The biggest thing was probably that our game plan stands up against good sides. And you know, Fremantle are one of the best defending sides in the competition, and we had 28 scoring shots. So, you don't, that's no fluke to be able to do that. Yes, we didn't kick our goals, which is the most disappointing thing, but, you know, it did galvanise the group, and you think, well, what have we got? We've got nothing to fear. You know, you take it up to these guys, you've got nothing to lose, and you go out and you have a crack at it.
Hey, Lids, I love the way you went about it, especially early on, kicking those three goals in the first quarter and making a statement. But if you're going to beat a side as good as Hawthorn, your best players need to stand up. I thought Cochin was magnificent early, and I loved Dustin Martin's first 40 minutes. Clean and didn't panic and got into that back half. And really, I would have thought the other 17 players on the ground were really comfortable when the footy was in his hands.
Yeah, I think Dusty probably wasn't at his best last week, but this week he was... He really did, like you said. He set us up and got the ball in his hands and just made good decisions to keep the ball out of the Hawthorn boys' hands. But Cochie's game, it wasn't his highest numbers of possessions that he's had, but his physicality and his presence around the stoppage and contest was some of the best I've seen from him, and it's something that he's really added to his game and sets a tone for us as a side and shows really strong, great leadership, I think. You know, just shows that, right, boys, we're up for a fight here, and it's something that we all follow.
As JB said, Lidge, yourself and Cochin and Martin, but one player in particular that actually got the ball going your way, Anthony Miles, like his contested ball and his clearance work against Hodge and Mitchell and Lewis was outstanding last night.
Yeah, look, he's not blessed with a heap of size or a heap of speed, although he likes to tell me he's one of the quickest blokes at the club. He certainly knows how to find it, and he's not afraid to mix it up with the big boys in there. He puts his head over it, and he certainly wins his fair share of contested possession. I think 18 of his 30 last night were contested, you know, so he's he's certainly doing that, but he just feeds it out and gets it to our boys on the outside, and, you know, Grigger and Brandon Ellis, Cander McIntosh, those sort of boys on the outside.
Speaking of Brett Delidio, star, last night's win for Richmond over the Hawks. Speed, Lids, is another thing I reckon that would have been high on the agenda. Reece Conker comes into the side, that helps. But getting the ball on and getting it moving quickly, yeah, play-ons were 24-11, but it looked to me like you didn't want to get them settled and you wanted to really test their leg speed across the ground.
Yeah, you're right. I think that was probably the reason that Reece did come in and not an extra tall. But him along with, I thought Kane Lambert was really good and showed quite a lot of speed at times last night. Taylor Hunt gives us that, and Basher Hooley down back as well. So it was, you're right. We wanted to test them out because they're known as a big-bodied side and they like to win it in close and then use their feet. So if you can spread them and get them on the outside, we thought that might have been something to our advantage. But you got to win it first, and that's where Milesy and Pochi and Dusty inside were probably so pivotal for us early on.
We'll save the best to last, Lids. Rancey was absolutely terrific again. He's just, I don't know, I just love watching him play. And, you know, obviously the way he's improved over the last 5 or 6 years, but he's gone to another level again. He was All-Australian last year, but he's raised the bar again, which is great for him, but more important for you guys as a team.
Yeah, the best thing about Rancey's game at the moment, I think, is that he's catching it and turning it around for us. He's not just, I know he's got great at those big spoils and he loves your award that you've got, Spud, but he does. He catches it and feeds it off to our runners.
A much coveted award too, Lids.
Yeah, I've heard. He's been fantastic. He probably wasn't at his best, although he still played a really good game last week, but he come out and just proved that he's probably the premier fullback of the competition.
Brett, can you win the premiership?
Absolutely. I think you've got to be in it to win it, don't you, Damo? And if you're not keen on winning it, you're not, what's the point in playing? So we'll give you every crack, that's for sure.
Is there a knowledge now that you can mix it on the back of what's happened in the past 2 months?
Yeah, absolutely. I think that's what I was saying before with the the confidence that we took out of last week's game, and but also being able to travel over and play Freo over there and Sydney up in Sydney gives you confidence that you can travel well. And if you don't, finish in the top two spots, then you're going to have to travel, I suppose. Mm. So, look, we got every confidence, and we just got to keep winning games. You got to get there first, I suppose, and we're on the right path, I think, at the moment.
Well, Lids, it was brilliant last night. Go back to the family and have a great Saturday. You've richly deserved it.
No worries, boys. Thanks for having me on.
Brett Delidio, our star. There's a growing feeling, Gary, around the place that, and far be it for me to say, but the Golden Fist is actually an obsolete sort of antiquated award given real defenders with Mark. Pills mark the ball and the weak-assed ones defend it. Now, Spud, where are we at with this?
Rancey's one of the guys that's leading the award because he mixes it up, JB. It's like playing cards, mate. You've got to know when to hold them.
And know when to fold them.
Right. So Rancey
But are
both.
You rewarding the fold them?
Both. It evolves like a game plan of a senior coach in modern football.
Some
it's evolving.
Who are more interested in winning the Golden Fist and now have forgotten to mark?
No, not at all. If you watch the show, it's evolved. I have been very much.
If you can get two fists to a Sharon, you can mark the thing. Surely.
Well, that's debatable.
What you should do, if I should be so bold, as to offer some advice,
I'm all for advice.
Well, you don't look like it with
your body language.
I'll take it from you, but not this skinny prick.
Fair enough.
One of the great waffle marking defenders.
No, you're kidding.
In the seconds.
That's it.
I think you should.
You wouldn't mind a baby in a pram.
14
you'd
marks
JB.
In the grand final against South America.
Introduce negative points for those that get two fists to the ball.
And don't mark it.
I'll take that on board.
Good point.
Yeah, so if you've got, if Francie's winning on 18 and he does a double fister, you can take two off him.
Yeah, no, I'll take that on board.
Thanks, buddy.
No, I will. I'm not from you, JB.
Yeah, I think I brought it to the table. So no. Just because he comes second in with it, you're
agreeing
with
it somewhere,
him.
Didn't I?
Rancey is coming second in the comp for spoils. He's also about ranked sixth for intercept marks.
Better. So that second one's better.
You have I know
very,
it is.
You have got very defensive. Look at you.
Not offensive at all.
Offensive.
At all.
Look at you.
Defensive. top knot?
When are you going to get it all?
He's gone personal.
No.
He's gone personal.
When are you going to get it all shaved off? Like, you're waving flag. It used to be, as I said, it used to be a shopping centre, your hair. Now it's a little hot dog stand. It's just sitting up on the top. Like, I watched the footy show on a Thursday night. How much makeup do they waste on your forehead now?
I tell you. Next, we go forensic on this. Alistair Clarkson, Wayne Carey spat. And we'll bring you stuff that others haven't heard. So that's coming up next. Last night, sort of came to light a bit more today in the tissues, that legendary coach of Hawthorn, Alistair Clarkson, pumped a couple of bullets into our man, Wayne Carey, the King. Never have I come across a man who's more comfortable having bullets pumped into him than the King either. He couldn't give a stuff.
They bounce off him.
What anyone says.
Well, they're rubber pellets.
I think that's true, but last week he did say he went home and was moping around the house.
Yeah, well, because I think he realised he got it wrong. Right. That's where that one. He realised the words he used weren't what he meant. Right. But anyway, he was accused again of having a crack at the Hawks. So let's firstly have a listen to what was said during the Seven broadcast at halftime of last night's game.
It's an interesting one, isn't it? I mean, he was struggling a little bit anyway. Hartung comes off, gives him some run. Do you think, guys, it's a tactical move as much as anything by the Hawks?
No, not tonight.
Don't they usually go down to the rooms and do a test, though? He didn't do that. He stayed on the bench. Didn't look too much testing going on to me.
Right, so
Steve-O, Cameron Ling, as he Mark Stevens, Cameron Ling, and Wayne Carey, the voices there.
Put it out as...
Couched it.
So he's the one who's introduced it.
On the back of maybe you saying something?
No,
he might have had an ear to Triple M football, maybe.
I wouldn't have thought that at all, but that's his own thought, so he's thinking, oh, this is... This
tactic used by Hawthorn.
And Lingy said no, so straight away Lingy. And Ducks just sort of said, right, well, you know...
Didn't see a lot of testing.
Didn't see much testing.
So anyway, the game played out, of course, and then the press conference afterwards, and Steve-O has got history, of course, in the press conferences, which we love. So he piles in there, and there's Al Clarkson, and this is what transpired.
You really think we do that? You got a doctor down on the bench who makes a concussion call, and the coach doesn't have anything to do with it. Get that clear. Not me, not 17 other coaches either. We never, never overrule the doctor in terms of anything to do with that. So where was that? Duck, was it?
No, it was speculation through the night.
Yeah. Carey?
No, it wasn't Wayne.
Another great call by Carey. Silly, mate. We should open the file on Wayne Carey.
Surely Steve-O then says, who brought it up? He should have said me.
Yeah. That's right. He's just...
Exactly.
Oh, he brought it up at half-time.
He just sat on the fence.
Well, Ducks copped the drive-by.
Yeah, he has a big drive-by.
Because I think it's a relevant question.
No, I asked the question as well. And Clarko, he doesn't lose often, so he gets filthy, and that's great. It's not about questioning the doctors.
No,
The heat would go on the doctors if you were saying, did you put a bloke back onto the ground with a query on concussion? The question is there, and this window remains open for any club, any person to say, look, if there is even the slightest doubt, and that's good. If it's a concussion-related thing, of course we want to go down that track. But if you get knocked in the head, well, there's no rule that says you can't say, listen, we're a bit slow, we need some run. It's 5 minutes to the halftime break anyway. Well, let's get Chip off. Let's put Billy Hartung on, and the 15 minutes in the halftime break will count. And if we need to get Chip back on, we can. And that's what they did. Now, I say coaches are going to take every inch of license they can. They will never, this is if Clarko, and you'll be listening, they will never put the player in question hurt now. I'm convinced of that. In the past, yes. But now I'm with Clarko, doctors overrule. But when there's the opportunity to go, let's err on the side of extra caution and get a bit of extra run for 5 minutes, well, I don't think there's a coach in the comp it's not going
to
look at that.
I'll have to disagree because in a former life, they've had a lot of education, the coaches, on the concussion and with what's happened in the States, multi-billion-dollar lawsuits.
Maybe they can do both. This is actually enhancing the concussion rule because they're saying, let's be so conservative that we'll go even further the other way. And, oh, by the way, we also might get a little bit of run.
Well, the doctor would. I think he's put in a compromised position if that's the case.
Fair enough.
Well, poor really old Duck got the drive by anyway, which is the reason we've replayed that. And,
Duck. Well, well done, Steve-O. I'm right behind you, Duck. About 550 kilometres away.
Let's just replay that again. Let's just see how it should have gone. All right, who brought that up, Steve-O? So I should have said, I actually did, Al.
Yeah. Well, here's why. Here's why. I want to know what happened. Yeah.
I liked it. Others.
Others did. Not me, others. we take the course in terms of the concussion, take the coaches out there at 100%. I've got to go Whispering Wolf style.
Oh, you are.
When, what time are you going, those?
Not yet. Not 105.
Well, yeah, you're up 105. Yeah.
What do you got
I like
to
go down and get the feel of the room before
so
I...
So you got to get something off
you like
to get
the pats on the back in the Melbourne rooms. That's
no,
what it is.
I don't get them.
They like me
the doors open.
JB a couple of weeks ago.
I get the... maybe you should go.
I should go down and do it.
It's your room.
Guest appearance.
On Sunday, this Warrior knows this. Warrior knows this for a fact. By 4 o'clock Sunday afternoon, I've had a gutful of footy, and I refuse to watch past that.
Right.
So I've never actually seen the show chief host on
Bounce
Sunday night. It comes
great
on
show. Must watch.
I sometimes see it.
Well, this is my point.
No.
I arrived on Monday for a normal meeting, and I had at least six people come to me go, you've got to see this, you've got to see this. And I thought... I unearthed some vision that perhaps the access has missed. Unlikely. Mm-hmm. And then so I said, what is it? And they said, your man. And I went, oh, no, please. What's Spud done now? And they said he's gone in and adopted a character for his show and has to be, well, you have to see and listen to truly understand where Spud is going. This is a television show.
Yeah, no doubt
Let's
about
have
it.
A listen to the opening of The Bounce.
You must have got very nervous talking to a superstar like Amy Schumer.
Me? Spud Vegas? Getting nervous? Mate, they get nervous. They get that nervous when they speak to me. You can't ram a knit needle up their backside with a jackhammer.
But you've never mixed with celebrities.
Eric Banner, Troy, Chapa. What magnificent films. Here's Matt Damon.
Matt, hang on. Eric Banner I can see because he was number one ticket holder at St Kilda.
Still is, Jase.
So Matt Damon, there's no tie in there.
We go way back, me and Matt. Have a listen to this.
I'm so excited that my Tigers are finally going to play finals. Look, trust me, I've been there for the hard times as well. I remember the Wallace years, the Spud Frawley years.
Oh, come on.
See? I've got them everywhere, my friend. And as I said, we've got the trailer from Amy Schumer. You know what a trailer is?
I do.
Just the shots of a film.
It's got wheels on, you go camping.
No. A trailer is a preview of Trainwreck, who's winning all local cinemas around Australia. It's been in the States over for a couple of weeks, and it's smashing it. Smashing the box office, Jase.
What?
That's so...
On Earth.
Spud.
Are we dealing with Spud? What is that?
Look, it's the highest rating show on Fox Footy. And,
what is that?
Well, look, it didn't probably go down as well as I thought it would at the time. But anyway, you got to do what you got to do, guys.
Far be it from me or us in the show that we do, there's a thing called timing.
Yeah.
And I would have thought, have a go at it.
Well, Gary.
Open your show with it and then leave.
I watched the show because I was watching Melbourne because of my nephew. Yeah. So I watched the Melbourne game and then I went to get myself, I'll happily say it, some of the Barossa's finest. Mm-hmm. And then when I came back, I've looked at the screen and there was the chief opening the show. So I'm watching it going, well, there's massive chief. And then this Elvis sort of lookalike with darkened hair
sunnies.
And fake tan and Elvis sunnies. And I thought, well, that has to be Spud. And then that bit there happened, Gaz. And I thought, well, that's truly horrific. But I thought, there'll be a couple of minutes of it, and you'll sort of wring the towel dry and then go back to normal rest of the show. An hour later, he's still rolling the same gear.
Well, I haven't seen it, but I was thinking... Sam Newman style, because I think that's where the old fella
that's
is. This
it.
Is where Spud's going down. He comes out with some crisp openers.
He does.
And some not so crisp
openers. That's it.
And that's... But then, at the first break, whoosh, back in the suit, straighten up on with the show.
That is it.
Don't flog the proverbial horse, bud.
No.
You're telling me at the 58-minute mark.
Still in the suit.
He's still running with the Spud Vegas stuff.
Spud Vegas.
Oh, no.
Chortle, chortle.
Come on.
That's a good segue into the function we did yesterday.
Oh.
We did one at McDonald's. We did one at McDonald's.
Have a listen to him.
McDonald's Spud house, a great
he's
function.
Dirtied up.
No, I'm not dirtied up at all. There's four panellists. Hutchie's emceeing it. I'm not sure how you could emcee it. He's that far up your rectile, Gaz. But anyway, it was myself,
dirtied.
JB.
The champ's dirtied up now.
No, I haven't dirtied up.
Yeah,
I haven't dirtied up.
Yeah.
There was Hutchie, myself, JB, Gaz, and Billy. Now, I would have thought when there's four panellists and an MC, you'd be punchy and you'd sort of ask a question, 35 seconds max.
In and out.
You ran with the tribute to David Boone again. That thing that went for 7 minutes. 7 bloody minutes. I was sitting there scratching me pills, picking the jocks out of me backside. I'm just sitting there. I'm elbowing JB next to me. I'm thinking,
he didn't run with the Boone tribute, mate.
Yeah, microphone hog. Absolute microphone hog. Hey, Warrior, don't you start. You're a fraud as well. Where's the interview? Come on.
I told you last week I needed another
fortnight
window to try and deal with the extraordinary logistics.
Warrior. Spud and I have had a little riff. Yeah. We come back together quickly when there's a common weak link we can pick on.
Yeah.
Where's your interview?
Did you listen to what I said last week about this same time?
So
I needed another fortnight.
You said last week another fortnight.
I did, which is so, 1 week in.
All right, so
fortnight
next
is 2 weeks last time I checked.
So next week.
Right, so next week you've got
next
it.
Next week.
I will abort the plan.
No, you won't.
If next week comes and goes,
oh, hang on a minute,
and the logistics remain insurmountable.
Right. Okay, the way I read it then, and let's keep that in the vault, you don't get the main target, you're going to get the Stony Creek maiden.
We've already got
you've got plan B,
which
but
is
I'm going to be telling plan B that you weren't number one because you just said it there.
Well, you won't be talking in the interview because I was shut out of your interview.
I'm quite happy.
Me and Spud have delivered.
You haven't delivered.
We have, so
mate, Hey, Warrior, I'm quite happy to go and pick the toe jam out of me toenails while
you
you're
go and dress up
groundbreaking
again.
Interview.
Go and dress up.
You could go and be masquerading as a doctor somewhere.
Will you go and get your hair, Sean? Old top knot.
All right.
Wave the white flag. Come on. Come on, Desert Ed.
Together. Yes, bud.
Come on, Desert Ed.
We've lost it.
You were at that function yesterday.
Yes.
I was the end panellist.
Yes.
I was prepared to say nothing. But when Spud launched into his plugger for the fight,
I was going to get Hutchie to come on and talk about it, but he's up your ass. There's his toe-lace. There's his shoelaces hanging out your hairy ass. Get out, Hutchie. Get out of there, you. Get out, Hutch. Oh, I tell you what, Hutchie. Talk about man love. Laces! Laces, Hutchie! Get them out of here. You got dags on your laces.
Patrick Dean rang me and said, can you ring Plugger and get the suit back? I went, oh, no, please, no one help me. And I rang Plugger, and he was on the header, and I said, Plugger, have you got the suit back?
Don't use it. I've got a sportsman's on. Wednesday night, I'm going to run with that again. Some people mightn't have heard it. I've got to feed the kids.
And then Brad Elton's rang.
And then we had to straighten up with a bit of straight stuff. Spud ran with a Gold Coast, who no one gives a shit about.
Talk about putting around the sleep, Spud.
And then Louie rang.
I don't think you'll be invited back, Spud.
I'm quite happy to go. I'm taking it well, as usual.
The whole room's eyes glassed over when Spud's talking about the Gold Coast.
A woman actually fell off her chair.
Face
planted.
Go again.
Oh, it was horrible. I had to go. I didn't want to bring me Boonie out, but I had to go again.
come on.
Hatchie! Get out!
Oh, I can't do it. I can't keep doing this.
Oh, come on. I'm getting the complex.
Gaz is heading down to do a nice Whispering Wolf segment with the coach of the Demons, Paul Roos, shortly. What do we got? Wolfpack would have enjoyed the last quarter of an hour.
Goodison says, seriously, you guys get paid to laugh non-stop. Hashtag easy work. Matty Haig's in tears. Johnny Goller says, what the actual F is going on?
We don't know either.
Where is someone else? Deb Cannon said, I won't say what she said, but she's laughing a lot.
Yes.
Nathan, Spud's American skit was car crash television. Shane Fleming says it's the best 10 minutes radio he's ever heard. Sports Leisure says Four Eyes better put it on the table, who he's got for the gun
exactly.
interview.
Yeah, exactly. Exactly right.
Hide behind Plan B.
Yeah.
I'll hide behind who I need to hide behind.
Until
I have to abort the project.
Also says Spud needs a random drug test today. So they're up and about the
place. Well, I tell you, talking about feedback, Gaz, a good mate of mine called Matty Dwyer, who's worked for Cricket Australia and has now gone over to work for... I don't know whether it's the global game or cricket in England. One of the two.
Yeah.
Anyway, really good fella.
Good guys.
And he's on his way over there to start that job, but he stopped in Mallorca on the way. Mm. He got jammed in a lift last week, and he couldn't get out for an hour and a half. A 3x3 lift, like a tiny little lift.
Mallorca.
Mallorca. So the only thing he could do was find somehow the Dr. Frawley fraud exposure segment on podcast. So he listened to it for an hour and a half until they could wedge him out of this lift.
In a lift.
So he sent me a text and he said, tell the boys that the rub is the only cure for claustrophobia. Oh, that was absolutely brilliant. So that's in Mallorca. That's we're global.
I just got one there for a man in Fiji sitting. This is Stevie Solder. He says, listening poolside in Fiji in tears. The local giving me some bloody strange looks. So I'm about to head down Whispering Wolf style now.
So,
what do you want me to ask? Anything?
Are they going to get the ball as quickly as they can to Hogan, or in a roundabout question?
I might leave that for you, but don't forget I'll be standing right next to
him. Yeah, no, that's true. But so maybe...
Open up with one that is going to put him right on the spot.
Would you think that...
opening up with, how are you going to go today?
No, don't. The handball to kick ratio last week was a bit out of whack. You had more handballs than kicks in wet
too,
conditions.
It was.
Do we get to ask questions, or is it just exclusively with you? What do you think?
I think I'll read it.
Yeah.
And,
I'll read it.
I'll see the body language from Roosie.
Because you did write a column about him today, and it wasn't glowing on Melbourne. It wasn't at all over-the-top harsh, glowing.
The guts of it was this, that at the halfway mark of the year last year, they were 8-3 Collingwood, 8 wins and 3 losses, and they missed the finals. This year they are 8-3, they've lost 5 in a row. Halfway mark for Melbourne, they were 4-8 last year. Halfway mark this year, they are 4-8, didn't win another game. Collingwood, I think their improvement is such as that it's not as critical what happens in these last six games. I think it is vitally critical that Melbourne don't go passively into the night like they did last year. And they've got six games to really ensure that this improvement that's spoken about is actually real. And I have suspected that it was, but I've been concerned in the last couple of weeks. So I want to see, as a Melbourne supporter, I want to see that the path continues to get trend upwards.
All right, so what aren't they doing that they should be, beside of what Spud just said, getting it into your big power forward quickly and giving him a one-out
Jesse
chance?
Jeffy Gale's kicked 30 goals. Jesse Hogan's kicked 29. The next best is Nathan Brown on 8 and Ben Newton on 7. They don't score enough. Now, I know there's been a defensive mindset, and that's good and well, but there has to be a time when you back yourself and say, well, Garlett, Hogan, and particularly when they had McDonald down there, I mean, between the three of them, there's an opportunity to go quick and go fast. And last week, they had 101 possessions in the first quarter, and it was 20-5 inside 50s to St Kilda. So that's the sort of thing that I want to see more of.
Just to paraphrase the article too, you actually said there was effectively a buy into Collingwood's vision under Nathan Buckley, and I took it that you were saying there wasn't yet under Paul Roos at Melbourne.
No, that was more of a look at Collingwood in on their own. And I think the Bucks has got them on track, and I can see consistently week in and week out what they're trying to do. Yep. And I guess from a Melbourne point of view, there are times when it's been fast, quick and long.
Yep, and you're right, it's hard to recognise how they want to play.
Yeah, that's what I'm saying. So at times I see them go fast, quick and long, Geelong particularly, on other occasions, and then
you know, last week it was ringer, ringer, Rosie, handball, handball, handball without going, you know, without moving the full ball forward. So I'm not sure whether they're not skillful enough to play high possession footy at the moment. And my concern, but the worry is that they haven't got enough great distributors by foot. I rate only three players in this side at the moment as very good kicks. Three.
Who are they?
Jones, Vince and Watts. And that's it. And that's not enough. And there were games. Jack Viney's been outstanding. Mm. Opening 5 minutes of the third quarter last week, spade against St Kilda. They'd closed the gap at half time, 30 metres out, running an open goal, didn't score.
Brave.
Dom Tyson running down the wing, no one around him, going inside 50, turns inside to kick it, misses the target ball, turnover. Those things can't happen. So you want to see them sorted out.
But our man, Gary Lyon, Whispering Wolf, former Melbourne legend, is, well, you can't be a former legend, you're a legend anyway, is heading down to the Melbourne Rooms to do some one-on-one work with Paul Roos. He's on his way down there. We're hoping that we're going to be able to cross down because we like it when he goes down purple, Whispering Wolf style.
Yeah, and he gets all the pats on the back from that particular dressing room, and that's the reason he goes down to Melbourne and Melbourne only.
No doubt. And they all love him. All the old volunteers, of course, get around him, the former skipper. A bit like when we used to send Bristol down to Collingwood and the Richmond rooms.
Yep.
He might be down there now. Gaz?
Yes, I'm here, Jim.
Now, you haven't got Roosie yet?
No, he's just wandering over right now.
Well, before we do, let me just tell you what's
Well, hurry up, because I don't want to keep him waiting here.
Spud got hold of the quiz sheet and wrote down the lifeline answers.
Well, he's a cheat, and Paul Roos knows that, so it wouldn't be a surprise to anyone.
Take it away down there with the former superstar player and coach and a great mate of yours.
Roosie, lovely to see you. 7 weeks ago you played this footy club here. Is that a good thing or a bad thing? Come back in 7 weeks and have another crack at them.
It's probably a strange thing of the draw, isn't it? We haven't played Carlton yet, and we've played St Kilda twice and Collingwood today twice. So, look, I think every team's different. We've seen their team different. We've got some guys in and out of the team. So it's really, I mean, we know a little bit more about them because we played them 7 weeks ago and vice versa. But it'll be a pretty different game today, I suspect.
And you've had a couple of weeks of indifferent form, a win albeit in amongst that, but disappointing since Geelong. The Geelong win was outstanding, but there have been moments since where just looks like it's regressed a touch.
Yeah, I think we're certainly a team that's not going on an upward scale week in, week out, and that's probably the most frustrating thing for Melbourne fans. But look, it's not unusual for teams in our situation. We'd certainly like to be more consistent, and that's really the goal for us for 6 weeks. We felt our first half was really good against Brisbane, then dropped off in the second half. And then last week was a bit of a nothing game for us. Take nothing away from St Kilda. I mean, I think they're similar and probably got a bit more experience with Reworld and Montagna and Fisher and guys that have played in those grand final teams. But, yeah, I thought last week was pretty disappointing.
So this, I'm a nuffy Melbourne supporter who just watches. So this battle between trying to get defence right and attack right, where does that sit? You came in with a really clear mandate to say I'm going to tighten things up, and it had to be. And now this year to hopefully try and open it up a bit. And there was a hesitancy last week, I thought, to go forward when you had a couple of winners there. So is that just the way it played out, or have you got that balance right?
No, we certainly haven't. I think that's a real challenge. I mean, last night we saw the Richmond-Hawthorn game, and Richmond's defensive stuff was fantastic. So they're probably a little bit more offensive-minded, and now they've really got back to defence, and their balance, was exceptional. So it is the biggest test of footy. You know, the really good teams do it well week in, week out, and we're certainly not able to do it. I thought last week just the skill level really let us down. We tried to go through the corridor, and we're really imploring that of our players, but if you can't get the ball from A to B, it gets really deflating, and then the players lose confidence. So it's certainly something we've spoken a lot about this week, and we'll continue to do that for the rest of the year.
And yet you've taken a bold decision to have McDonald go forward over the past couple of weeks, which I think is fantastic. It takes a bit of pressure off Jesse. You continue on those lines?
Yeah, again, it's a balance between week to week and setting up the team for the long term as well. Probably the McDonald thing was more just throw him forward against Essendon, give him a couple of looks and help Jesse out. Longer term, I think he's going to be our centre half back. So I think today we'll sort of settle him back down there, try and get our defensive five or six right. Because if we can get our defence right, we can score better as well. Because Tommy at his best early in the year was running out of defence, using the ball pretty well, getting the ball forward. So, but it's certainly one of the big discussion points every week at match committee.
And what about the challenge for you as very, very successful premiership coach at a Sydney Swans side that had senior players that were able to think on their feet out there. You come here to a side that is a long, long way back. I mean, how big a challenge has that been for you from a coaching point of view, coaching a side that's in the zone in terms of premiership contending to coming here to a side that's anything but?
Yeah, I mean, people ask me a lot of all the time about the difference in Sydney and Melbourne. Look, it's dramatic. There's no question about that, and that's nothing against the players. It's just the age factor, and we've turned over 22 players over the last sort of 18 months. So it's a dramatic difference. When I took over at Sydney, it was on the back of Rocket. Rocket had some really good success, played in the grand final in 96, had been in finals, I think, maybe six out of 7 years or five, whatever it was before that. So we had some players that really understood what the game was about and was able to deliver that on the field. And I think that's one of the reasons, Gaz, we brought in Bernie and Crossy and H as well to try and get that expertise. So it's certainly dramatically different. A lot of what we do now is, I suppose, a lot more basic education than perhaps what we were doing in Sydney, because they were a bit more advanced. I think we're getting to that level and we're able to add layers to our game, but we're still a work in progress.
It's not as, and I'll let the boys go after this, it's not as pure as win-loss, but you are one ahead of the curve last week from last year. You got six games to go, and I just had a look at it this week. I think it's so important to try and get another result, like a Geelong one, for instance, which, again, is a win, I know, but it was such a massive turnaround and where it's been. And this time last year, it went without a win. How important do you see it? I know we're putting emphasis on the win, but to get back to a performance that was Geelong-like.
Yeah, I mean, we know as coaches, winning is the best thing, medicine for supporters, particularly Melbourne supporters. I mean, you know, Gaz, I played for Fitzroy, played for Sydney, coached Sydney, so I've only been involved in the club, but I love the club now. I mean, and I hurt for the club because of the pain you guys have been through for so many years, but I can't do much about that. I can't really fix what happened in 2013 and 12 and 11 and 10 and all that. It's hard, and I carry that, and I understand, you know, why I get emails and all those sorts of things. But we know where we're heading, and we know what we need to do it. It's not going to always be, up slightly up again. It's not like climbing a ladder and eventually you get to the top. You know, you're going to slip a couple of rungs and you're going to get back up. But yeah, look, we need to win. There's no doubt about that. Or at the very least, play more consistently than I think we have over the... I was not unhappy West Coast game. They're a really good team. But you're right, I think it's just that consistency. Probably the skill errors that really hurt us at times, that people sort of get frustrated, and I get frustrated. So that's the consistency I think we're really looking for.
Anything from you geniuses upstairs? I think I've pretty much nailed it.
No, you have, Gaz. Bruzy, Angus Brayshaw, look, he's been a beauty. Do you look at the last sort of five or six games, put him in the midfield? I know Viney's doing a great job, and you've got Vince in there, your skipper as well. Or is it just a matter of just trying to get him through the season and then have a look where he's best suited for the future?
Yeah, probably the first part of it is just making sure the welfare at this time of year is really sound. And I think we had a discussion about him during the week, but he seemed pretty up and about and he was pretty confident. So, and then, yeah, look, we like to get him in the midfield, but you're also mindful of the demands of the game. And, you know, those guys, when they first get drafted, they really don't get a long pre-season. So that's part of it as well. But, yeah, look, I like what he's delivered for us and I'd like to see him in the midfield. I'm sure we'll see him a bit there today.
Viney was terrific against Jack Stephen last week. Will he go to Penderby or Swanee?
Yeah, look, Jack's been terrific. He's a real one-on-one player. I suspect whoever he lines up in the centre bounce, he probably goes with, because he's a natural ball winner. He's not a tagging player, and he hasn't really tagged. He had 31 last week against, I don't know, whatever, 16 or 17 or whatever it was. So it's just a natural the way that he plays. So whether it's Pendles or Swanee or Taylor Adams or whoever it might be, yeah, he's just a really good one-on-one player.
Hey, Roosie, without wanting to bog you down in it all, Adam Good's a great friend of yours. You must feel desperate for the place he's found himself in.
Yeah, absolutely. I think there's been some great commentary and some not great commentary, but I'll focus on the real positives. I think I spoke to Mickey O during the week and just wanted to pass on, hopefully to Adam, that there is a lot of support down here for him. I think, you know, he's probably getting bogged down in the negativity and some of the garbage that gets written. But look, the Swans are a great club, and the way they've wrapped their arm around him, the way the AFL footy community's wrapped their arms around him, has just been exceptional. And I think we've all said enough's enough, and we hope that it now stops.
And the boys' armbands today?
Yeah, just lower on the forearm, and we'll just get it in the colours and just represent Adam. And, yeah, we really want to make a stand for him and the whole community.
Was that Neville? Did I read where Neville Jett ever suggested that?
Yeah, I think it was Nev and Jeff that sort of came up with it, and they decided to do it, which is great.
Well, it's a great thing, mate. It's a big day. Winnable game.
Yeah, thanks, guys.
Paul Roos joining us down here. Anything else you want?
Well done, Whisperer.
Yeah, well done.
Well, thanks, Phil.
What are you doing down there now? Just extending the pressing the flesh?
Oh, they're getting around me at the minute.
Oh, they would be, I'd imagine.
Not one person's come up to me so far. Not many people down here, though, to be perfectly honest. I'll just go for a wander. Let me just see. Oh, some nice lollies down there.
Yeah, get stuck into them.
A piece of those. There's Spike Harris, a great man. Well, Ryan, I'm on air. What do I need? What else have you got for me? Talk me through the tactics for the day. I'll give you a scene setter. I'll tell you what's fascinating.
Yes, please.
Warrior probably needs to come down because Spud appreciates it. The pre-game ritual of these players. I've got Daniel Cross here who's running around like he's ready to run a marathon. We've got big Lyndon Dunn. He's got the big headphones on and he's having 80-metre torpedoes. Jack Viney looks like he's ready to kill someone. And Jack Grimes is half asleep, so it's fascinating what happens in a pre-game. Well, Jeffy's got the boxing gloves on. Jeffy's got the boxing gloves on and he's about to go nuts. Roosie looks relaxed and everyone's just left to their own devices. But it was a bit different to our day where it was very regimented and you had to all do the same thing. So, there's Goody. He's up and about too, Goody. Don't worry about that.
Good looking man.
Can you feel a win there, Gaz? You know, sometimes you can just feel it in the pores of their skin.
Yes, I can.
You can feel it.
My word, I can. Don't worry about that.
Are they wondering where Jim is today, given he was in the rooms last time they won?
Well, there's a seat here that's got his name on it.
No doubt.
It says Cocksmack on it.
They got right around me last time.
There's a photo of you there as well.
In fact, I think there's more love for me down there than you're getting at the minute.
No, well, this is the thing, see? When you're gone, Jim. Yeah. You don't try and hang around,
That's true. I'm current.
You are more current than me. That is true.
That was one of the more extraordinary displays of behaviour. Jim. Of all the things Spud's done this year.
Very nicely handled.
Hang on, can you hear this? Listen to Jeffy. Look at him go up the pads.
What's the pads?
Oh, he's quick. The leather into the pads there.
It's like Eugene with the craft.
That's exactly the craft.
Very quick, Jimmy.
I think I might stay away from Jeffy.
Yeah,
I
would have thought so.
All right, Gaz, make your way back up.
Well, I won't be back for a while.
I think you'll be back in 5 minutes, actually.
About 2 o'clock. I need to wish my son a happy birthday.
Yes,
Thomas Lyon.
Yep.
19-year-old Nipsey. Yeah.
That's it.
I don't know where he is, Jim. I've lost him, but anyway, happy birthday.
Well, isn't it interesting?
He's not doing that, Warrior.
I've had two sons in the last 2 months have an 18th and a 21st, and both of them gave me the widest possible berth on both occasions.
Until it came time to pay.
Yeah, that's exactly right.
What did Henry do for the 18th?
He went to Arcadia, and all he wanted me to do was hand my credit card over to the Nipsey from Arcadia so that they could book a room. And no more, I want you to have no further part in it. Jonathan just went down the coast and I couldn't find him for 4 days.
Just went to full fridge, didn't he?
No idea where he was. This is all different, Gary. The young Nipsies go about it a different way. Yeah. Hey, I got some nice feedback because, of course...
About the interview?
Yes. No, not about the interview. Oh. But we had some very nice feedback, of course, on Spud and what happened at on the bounce. And, of course, Spud Vegas and all the rest of it.
Yeah, and he's boring sporty.
That's it. So Pigsy07 has come through to me. I'm global. I'm trending at James Brayshaw on Instagram. And said, he sent me a photo, which I want you to have a look. Not great radio, but you can attest. It's his.
Oh, yeah.
It's dashboard. The dashboard of his car. He's got Triple M 1232 on there. And he says to me, just kicking back in the driveway.
In the driveway.
Listening to the rub at Triple M footy. Hashtag good times. Hashtag escaping from the missus.
What's he doing?
So he's gone into his car. In the driveway.
He'd have to have the heater on, surely.
And sat in there listening to us instead of being with his better half. That is what Triple M footy is all about, Purple. That's why we are the best. And he's even sent visual proof of it through, which I think is absolutely brilliant.
And just while we're doing indulgent, which we do better than anyone else.
Yes, of course we do.
Josh Lyon played in the final. This is for you. In the rugby for the Xavier first, and they played St. Pat's Ballarat.
Yeah, how'd they go?
Went down.
St. Pat's are always pretty good.
I think they're cheating.
No.
I think they are.
No.
I think they're recruiting and scholarshiping.
They do it with rowers.
They do it with footballers.
I
do. No doubt. No doubting that whatsoever.
They're not the lone ranger there.
That's why they've won the last four Herald Shields.
Is that where you learnt the art of it?
Did you go there, Spud?
Too right, I did.
Yeah, no, I'm sorry.
I had prefects. Nathan Brown out here, Tom McDonald.
You didn't do year 12, did you?
No, I didn't.
Did you go to St. Pat's or not?
Didn't you do year 12?
I did go to St. Pat's.
Until when?
year 11.
Head prefect, so he called himself.
No, so I was, but the old man wanted me on the farm.
Where'd you do year 12?
I didn't do it.
Oh.
No, I didn't do it.
So you couldn't be head prefect then, because that's only for year 12.
I still was. In year 11, I was. I still was, Jay. But
that also explains a few things.
Does it? What to explain, Warrior?
A few things.
Okay. Very good.
I love it. Well, we need to straighten up a touch here.
Big Ox has walked in.
Adam Oxley's walked in from the Collingwood Football Club, and not even sure he's been made aware, or so is the great Komet, by the way. Not even sure he's been made aware, the Ox, that he's going to be a lifeline in the quiz. So he better sharpen his footy knowledge right up.
He might want to have a bar of it. Or maybe the Collingwood media lady here might have to jump in.
Yes, that's it. Well, that would
whose
be fine
name
too.
Escapes me at the moment.
Sarah.
Sorry, Sarah.
Adam, welcome.
Thanks, guys, for having me. It's good to be in.
Now, last time you played against this club, you had an enormous role in the victory and were fantastic. You must have fond memories of that game, but tell us, were you amazed, as our special comments boys were at the time, this is 6 or 7 weeks ago, that you were allowed for so long to be basically allowed to play on your own?
Yeah, I think so. I think later on in the second quarter, I sort of started to stick some grabs, and I thought that maybe in the second half, they'd probably try to man me up a little bit more, and was happy enough to keep going about it and didn't really get touched. So, yeah, I'm not going to complain about that.
So who's
going to
do that today, if allowed?
Hopefully Langer's going to, my tackling partner before the game, he's already said that he'll take the reins up. So
hopefully no one, Jim.
Well, I said, if allowed, I said.
So what is, mate, the form was outstanding. Are you carrying an injury or what's the situation?
Not specifically, just a little bit sore sort of here and there from a few knocks. And, just sort of haven't been able to get through training as I would have liked to have, and probably just the best to have the 1 week off.
The days of playing 22 games are pretty much in the past anyway, aren't they? Particularly for guys who are just starting. This is only your, what is it, second or third year?
Yeah, third year.
Yep. So you need a bit of a spell, which is freshen up and then finish the year strong, hopefully.
Yeah, that's the plan. So I had a good chat to Bucks yesterday about that, and coming off really half a pre-season with the ankle that I did last year, I'm sort of pretty happy with where I'm at so far this year, so just bounce back and finish off the year strong.
And you're starting to form a pretty good, solid defence down there, Adam, with Frost. You know, Brownie's obviously got a lot of experience. Langdon as well, Tuvey and Marley Williams has had a great year. So you've got a really good future as a back line for the next 5 or 6 years.
Yeah, that's it. We're moulding into a nice young back line with a bit of experience with Tuves and Brownie and the likes of Goldie when he's down there. And got Ben Hart sort of looking over us. And we all know how good of a player he was. So, it's good to sort of just mould ourselves together.
Bit disappointed in the defeat last week against the Bulldogs. Obviously, you played all the top teams. And look, Bulldogs are in the top six now. So it was a game you probably had in your keeping there for a while, but the Bulldogs just seemed to have a little bit too much run.
Yeah, they did. Sort of, we wanted to bounce back after those four, what some people are calling honourable losses, but, you know, they all hurt and we're very disappointed with this one, especially last week. And, yeah, we sort of got to rectify that out there today and get back on the other side of the ledger, I think.
In your eyes, what's the reason been for the five in a row losses?
Just think at the crunch times are not really sort of going about the way we want to play the game. And, you know, we're doing a lot of things right, but sort of when the whips start cracking, I think a few of the younger players mightn't sort of, you know, have the steady head at the moment. But I think we're definitely trending in the right direction.
Who's been the biggest assistance to yourself in the short time you've had at the club?
Probably Robert Harvey. I worked a lot with him. We've got junior care coaches and he's mine. And, you know, he's great, you know, with the boys off the field and on the field, so away from footy is really good, and at the club he's always there worrying about my welfare and how I'm going at the club too.
Darcy Moore, what's his week been like, mate? He's got five under his belt in his third game. It's not a bad start.
Yeah, no, very good game by him. I think he's a little disappointed he didn't get the nod for the Rising Star last week, so put a bit of crap on him throughout the week, but hopefully he can continue that form today.
Ox, are you happy to stick around and be a lifeline in the quiz?
Yeah, for sure.
How's your footy knowledge?
It's not too bad in the last sort of decade or so.
Jim, but do you also realise if it's Chua's put a hard quiz together, it could be here for half an hour.
No, it won't be half an hour. There's no doubt. And I've also seen the link to the trick shot. You obviously love your golf. What are you playing off?
Anywhere from sort of 5 to 10. I haven't really got a handicap at the moment, but yeah, try
and
get out there.
You've been back down to TaylorMade to replace the driver head just flew off.
On Thursday, I got a new one, so the R15 they've supplied me with, which is unreal.
Beautiful. All right, well, good to see you. If you don't mind sticking around, Gaz, it's going to be a very nice addition.
If you have to go, mate, go. Yeah. Jim just wants to have a segment off.
We like the thought of a current player being involved in the quiz.
Of course we do, but we also like having you here, our leader.
The other game's underway down there at the Cattery, and it's 6 points apiece, a goal each. But the interest for us, Gary, surrounds who kicked the goal for the Cats within the first 20 seconds of the game.
Well, one man only, and that is, of course, our man, the Stevie, the Chomper Chomp Johnson.
Yep.
He's kicked one in the 15-second. Ball went back to the centre, which equaled Bill Brownless to become
the 4-41.
Yes, third highest goal kicker ever at Geelong, and that's going to make Bill flat.
Yep.
And then the ball went back to the centre. They cleared it. Tommy Hawkins ran out. All he had to do was gather it cleanly, and the Chomp was 40 metres on his own in the goal square. Yep. Would have had two inside 40 minutes. And I don't think... I think Tomahawk doesn't want him to beat Bill.
Maybe.
Because he fumbled.
He did.
And the ball went down the other end.
He did.
So it's a goal apiece down at Simmons Stadium, about three and a four minutes into the first quarter, and the Chomp's on the board.
Which is good news, because we want the Stars continuing to play footy, and it'd be great if Stevie J could find a way to be a part of the action next year for just selfish reasons, Purple, that we love him on Triple M.
Well, thank you, Ian, who tweeted us a member of the Wolfpack straight away, and they're up and about the pack.
If it's not Geelong, guys, is there any chance it may be somewhere else with Stevie J? Mm.
I don't think so, Spuddy.
No, I don't think he'd want to play on, but I think in the whole scheme of things, I don't think he should. You know, he's got to be remembered as a Geelong legend, really.
He will be regardless.
And he will be, but yeah, I just remember Dougie Hawkins went to Fitzroy.
Even Mick going to Carlton in the end there, Mick Martin, such a wonderful... Yeah. I hate seeing that.
Mick McGuan going to Carlton.
Right at the end. Yeah. I don't mind sort of halfway through. I mean, what's it got to do with me? You can do whatever you like. But it's just, I always think it's a bit of a shame, Purple.
Does it detract from the legacy, though? I don't believe it does.
Late news, and this is big news, I reckon. A late change for the Magpies. Ooh. Goldsack out, hurt in the warm-up. He's got a knee. I believe he was ejected through the week. When I was down there, I sniffed out a fitness test.
even though you're in
the Melbourne rooms?
Actually, the other doc told me. Sharenberg in.
Oh,
wow. To make his debut. Nice. Now, if you don't know who this is, this was a kid. My expert, Jim, rated him the best kid in that draft coming out of the under-18s. He's an absolute jet.
Okay.
He had a knee reco, I think, in his first year.
Yep. Was recruited with stressies.
Yeah, had stress feet problem.
Yep.
So this kid, as an under-18, was an absolute star. So I hope that he is fit and well.
Wow.
And he's making his debut today, and that is great news and even more reason to get to the MCG and have a look at these two great traditional rivals go at it.
That's absolutely brilliant.
Jim, we normally don't use the word equalisation too much in the rub, because it's a word that can have the effect of eyes glazing over.
Yep.
But I wanted to raise it just to get your perspective as a club president. This is going to be a massive issue, lots of outcry, lots of fallout when it actually is officially introduced to football as of effectively next year. Can I just, if I can, in a real quick, succinct way, just get your take on where this is headed and where the problems are going to lie?
Well, one of the interesting things about it, Purple, is there's been so much to-ing and fro-ing on it.
It's compromised already.
Well, I, as a club chairman, and, you know, I obviously have regular dialogue with our CEO, Carl Delina, who's outstanding. And when I talk to Carl, who has a much closer handle on it than I do, even he doesn't know the landscape from almost week to week, because it just keeps moving.
Yeah.
And what I find most interesting about this is the two biggest public detractors of the equalisation seem to me to be Andrew Newbold and Eddie Maguire.
They are.
Who were the two who were taken by the AFL to the States to formulate what it should look like.
Mm.
So I sit back and I say, well, if these two were part of the building of this, and are its loudest detractors, where are we actually at with it?
Mm.
How is it going to look in the end? So what I am, Damo, is a really interested bystander at the moment. I'm waiting for the legislation to be handed down. I think in some form or another it's got to come in, because otherwise we are going to end up with an EPL model where you'll just have superpowers that'll, you know, just dwarf everyone else or monster everyone else and just make it an unfair landscape. I mean, the West Coast Eagles are a great example. Everyone looks at Collingwood. Brilliantly run footy club Collingwood, and they've done an amazing job to become the size they are, and they do things fantastically well. But for me, the bigger issue, if you want to look at potential monsters, if you like, are the West Coast Eagles, who I think have something like $25 million in the bank. So as well, they've got 60 or 58, I think, thousand members. They've got another
waiting list,
and they've got another 12,000 on a waiting list. And those people, I think, have to pay something like $100 or $150
on the
to stay
list.
On the list. So they make, I think I'm right in saying this, they make about $800,000 a year net out of these people waiting to become members.
Wow.
And so, I mean, it is just ridiculous the amount of money that they have and the amount of power that gives them. So everyone tends to focus at Hawthorn and Collingwood because we're so Melbourne-centric. But, you know, the West Coast Eagles, I think, by far are the biggest sleeping giant when it comes to excess.
One more on the equalisation and the luxury tax component to this new policy that's going to be introduced. Are there going to be ways, Jim, in your eyes, where clubs can actually hide some of that spend? Like, it's a football department spend, but might they actually apportion some of the outgoings within that department to other parts of the business which don't effectively then get taxed?
Yeah, I suppose it's then up to the AFL to govern that pretty tightly. But more my concern than that is that West Coast, Collingwood, Hawthorn, if they want, and they're making public noises that they don't want, but if they do want, say, in 10 years' time when other administrations come in, what's to say that, you know, they don't say, OK, well, $1 million tax isn't enough, you know, maximum tax isn't enough per annum, so let's push it out to two or three. Mm. If you've got $25 million in the bank, which turns into 40 by then, why wouldn't they just turn around and go, well, we don't care how much the tax is, we'll just pay it.
Yeah.
We'll write it into our bottom line, we'll pay it and spend what we like.
There'll be a tax write-off on it.
Well, this is it. So then you end up with administrations going, well, here you are, have you two. We don't care. You're not telling us what we can spend on our core business. Mm. And then they just go ahead and spend whatever they like. And so this is my concern around it. And that's why, as I say, I'm a really interested bystander, if you like, looking forward to when it's handed down, exactly how it's going to work.
Yep.
But I agree with you. There seems to be a discord between the people that put it together and their acceptance of what's about to happen.
Yeah, look, it's going to get ugly and no one's going
to
be happy
with it. When will
it
come to a head?
Pretty soon, probably the next commission meeting, they'll attempt to put something out in the public domain, and certainly by the start of next year, it will be in play in some form. It has to be in play in some form.
And the next commission meeting, I think they'll put the interchange on the table too, won't they?
I think so.
I'm pretty sure.
Yeah. Well, and get rid of the sub. Let's hope that happens.
Just a bit of player movement. Just to watch this space on Matty Cruiser, guys, still uncontracted, as we know, since he's come back to Carlton around about the mid-season period after his latest injury. He's been good, been solid, out of contract still, and yet to work out where he's going to be next year. Now, the currency on him is not what it once was, but it's still going to be significant enough for him to have a pretty serious decision to make at the end of the year when it's all put in front of him in an official forum.
Adam Treloar?
Yeah, look, every club now, and I say every club, the ones I speak to are just saying it's done to Collingwood.
Which you were on before anyone else?
Well, it's a big deal, Jim. It's $750,000 a year times five. North Melbourne put a package together. I don't know the figures, but it wasn't too far off that, I believe. Richmond also feels it's in the race, but all the footy club world now is saying that it's done. But look, as we know, and as we always say this as a writer, until it's done, it's not done. But it seems
Jake
to be coming.
Jake Carlisle quickly.
Yeah, back in the team for Essendon this weekend, but a bit like Cruiser, just unknown as to, a very big unknown as to where he's going to be next year.
Shut up! The footy's on Triple M!
Triple M rocks football.